Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Don't sweat the technique.
Coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Final 10 podcast entries to Rock the Mic are set. We are ready to narrow down to the final four. Best podcast, we want your help doing it. Go to ESPN Houston YouTube channel. You should already be there. And then find Rock the Mic playlist to see the final 10. Like your favorites and get ready to join us next Friday, the 23rd. A week from tomorrow, from 5 to 7 p.m. at Carbach Brewery for the live finale of Rock the Mic. All right, 713-780-3776. Is Stephon Diggs closer to wide receiver 1 or wide receiver 3?
To me personally, I think he's closer to 1. I feel like it's going to be him and Nico. Tank is going to get the big plays. Tank's still going to get plenty. And again, I think this is a tough question simply because you got three guys that I think CJ's going to spread the ball around. I think all three guys are going to have good stats. But I think that he's still going to be flirting with Nico in terms of targets and catches and things like that. I'd put him closer to 1.
Okay. So closer to wide receiver 1. I have him closer to wide receiver 3. I don't think he's going to be nearly – I don't think he's going to be close to the production of wide receiver 1 as he is wide receiver 3. I saw a bunch of people out of camp yesterday, and apparently it was the Stroud-Diggs show. Apparently they were clicking on all cylinders. Bienemy, I think, even said that he thinks that he could be the wide receiver 1, like outright wide receiver 1. I was reading John Alexander, his piece in the Chronicle today, and he does great work covering the Texans. One of my favorite guys to cover, he and, of course, DJ, mm-hmm. He was talking to, raving about Stephon Diggs, mm-hmm. raving about how good Stephon Diggs has looked. I think he's closer to wide receiver 3 than wide receiver 1, though. And I know the Texans traded a future second for Diggs, reworked the deal to make Diggs happy, get him a year closer to free agency. But they gave way more money and commitment to Nico Collins. Mm-hmm. And Nico Collins was their top guy last year. I think we forget, too, how many touchdowns Tank Dell caught last year. Like, we forget the Tank Dell. And I think
7 in 11 games?
Yeah.
Was it 7? I thought it was 8. Either way, it's a lot.
I thought it was 7 as well.
And I think that part of it was, like, whenever you see Tank Dell and he's 5'8", and he's maybe the smallest good receiver in the entire NFL, it's like, well, that guy's not going to catch a lot of touchdowns. Well, he proved that narrative wrong. He did have 7 touchdowns in 11 games. And I think that the bond and the chemistry that they had a year ago gives him the edge over Stephon Diggs as well. So I think Diggs – and look, the question is he closer to wide receiver 1 or wide receiver 3? It's setting it up for him to be wide receiver 2, mm-hmm. but which of the – you know, 1 or 3, which one is he closer to? And if we're basing it on production, I think he's going to be closer to the third receiver. I think there's a decent chance he is the third receiver than he is whoever is the top dog in this Texans offense between Nico and Tank.
Is it fair to say that Tank might have more touchdowns, but that Diggs might have better catch and yard stats?
Yeah, it's fair to say that.
Because I think that – look, I know that they've gone out of their way already to appease Stephon Diggs, but I think – if you really want to look at it from a team perspective, the two guys that are going to be my future are going to be Nico Collins and Tank Dell. So I'm happy to have Stephon Diggs and to have all three of those receivers on my roster for this season. I'm in a really, really good place with CJ Stroud and all the other weapons that he has. But if I'm looking to guys that I want to take care of, guys I want to get the ball to, or guys that I'm going to, you know, really want to, you know, do the most for, it's the guys that are going to be here more than a year guaranteed.
Yeah, I don't think that's true. I don't think that's true. Like you're
I say if
you get in a single year, you're doing whatever you can, sure, to win a football game. If Stephon Diggs is by far the best receiver on the team ahead of Nico and ahead of Tank, CJ's not going to play favorites.
No, I'm not saying CJ's going to. I said if you want to get to a point where you're saying who you want to take care of, then it's obvious that you would look at the two guys that are going to be here long term. But I totally agree.
That's a crazy statement to me. CJ Stroud dropping back to pass in an NFL game with defensive ends in 3 seconds, ready to take his head off. And he's like, well, I like Tank Moore. He's going to be here longer.
You're not saying CJ, though, right?
No, I'm not saying CJ at all. I'm saying from an organizational standpoint, I'm sure that if they wanted to, if they were looking to, like, who would they prefer, it would be those two guys. But I'm saying overall, CJ's going to spread the ball around.
I still think that's crazy.
Okay, great.
Like, Bobby Slowick, who
I'm
probably
not saying Bobby
his...
Slowick or CJ are going to do that.
Then who is?
I'm saying that if the organization, the way Caserio's already kind of done things to kind of bend over backwards for Stephon Diggs, where we were talking about, is he going to be a captain? And everybody raving about Stephon Diggs. From an organizational standpoint, I mean, if you're going to look at it and say, which would you prefer if you had to choose between two of the three, the organization's going to want to take care of the guys that are going to be here long term in terms of those kind of things. I'm not saying
by giving them the ball or just like they're picking.
Just like if you're going to cater to him, if you're going to try and those kind of things.
So you want Caserio to tell Slowick which plays to call?
No, I don't, Jeremy. I'm saying Slowick and CJ aren't going to make decisions based on whose contract status is what. But I'm saying that if you look at it from an organizational standpoint, the way that the organizational looks at who's going to be here long term, the other two guys are going to be here long term. So you don't care if Stephon Diggs, because he's got 1 year left, you don't care if he gets the stats he wants or not.
I'm just trying to understand how this factors into productivity this year.
I'm not saying it did. I already said that I think that, you know, he's closer to Nico than he is Tank, but I also think that it's going to be based on CJ's going to take the open guy. I think that the only thing that you can look at, if you're just looking at big picture, if you look at what's ideal for the organization, you're not going to worry about Stephon Diggs 1 year getting, if he's not happy with all his stats, because the other two guys are your future.
So you're talking more from like their rooting perspective, like what they're cheering for.
Yeah, or just what they, you know, if they had a preference in terms of, you know, they don't care who has stats either.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, you want to make sure the guys are going to be here long term. Those are the guys that you care the most about.
Todd, the show says Diggs is going to freak out when he only gets the ball thrown to him 5 times a game. I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think that's going
to
happen.
It's week to week.
But I do get tired of the excuses that people make for Stephon Diggs. Mostly locally. It's like people want to ignore all the negative that Stephon Diggs has had in his career because he's the new guy. Whether it's like, okay, getting his way to Buffalo or getting his way out of Buffalo. They want to ignore the fact that he and Allen didn't have a good relationship. They want to ignore the fact that Buffalo traded him away when it cost them more money than just keeping him on the team. They want to ignore the fact that in his last 8 games, his production slipped an incredible amount. They want to ignore the fact that his snap count dropped. And I don't think that Diggs is washed. I don't think that Diggs is done as a football player. I think Diggs is still very, very good. But it blows me away. It's almost gaslighting. Like, it blows me away how many people ignore the negative points about Stephon Diggs. Like, they never existed. It's almost like whenever the Astros signed Jose Abreu, and I'm not saying Stephon Diggs is where Jose Abreu was as a baseball player, but when the Astros signed Jose Abreu, and I was guilty of this, when they signed Jose Abreu, it's like, everybody's like, well, his power's not good. He's an aging first baseman. We're like, well, look at his baseball savant. It's got a lot of red. It's like kind of the same thing with Diggs. Like, no one wants to have the conversation that Stephon Diggs does have a lot of negatives that have built up over the course of his career, and his last 8 games, his most recent 8 games, and we know how quickly things happen in football. We know that a guy over 30 that's a receiver in the NFL can drop off pretty quick. We
but
know these
saying
things.
He's washed?
No, I'm not saying he's washed. I'm not saying he's washed.
Because when you talk about the quick drop off, it kind of sounds like you're going down the road of washed.
I'm saying we're ignoring as a city. People are ignoring the fact that Diggs is over the age of 30 whenever that starts to get into an age of purgatory for NFL receivers. People are ignoring Stephon Diggs in his last 8 games for a good team. Let's keep in mind Buffalo was a playoff team last year. A good team was saying, let's have less of Stephon Diggs. We're ignoring that Buffalo was willing to trade him when it cost them more money to trade him than keep him. I'm just saying that, like, the fans in the city, because they want Diggs to work and because he's the new guy, ignore a lot of the negative that is Stephon Diggs.
Well, because you believe what you want to believe. You want to believe this is the match made in heaven. It's a perfect fit. He's going to excel, and it's going to take them to, you know, all these new levels. From an organizational standpoint, everything that they do is trying to brainwash you or to just pump up the fact that he's not like he used to be. We're not even going to worry about that. All we're talking about is how he's been here, and then you've got D'Amico and Caserio and everybody else just singing his praises over and over again. But the reality is, if you call it like you see it, you can't escape what he's done in the past. The fact that they even what they did contractually with him tells you, hey, look, there's an out for us that if this thing goes completely wrong, we can get out from under it. And so that we don't have the ramifications of long term. And more times than not, as you look at the entire situation, you're in the best case scenario because short term, he's got so much to do for himself as well that he's probably not going to do the kind of things that he's done previously. But you got to be careful because if you do sign him for long term or if you bring him back for more than a year, that's where it can go wrong. As he gets more years with a certain team, that's where he starts to act up more.
Look, the reality is we have no idea how it's going to go. Like, we give our best guess. We give our best opinion on, you know, like how we think it's going to work. But there's a range of possibility. Like, there's a range of possibility of how Stephon Diggs is going to perform in 2024. And whenever you have a new receiver in a city, and Diggs has the history of being a really good receiver, sports fans have a tendency to elevate the positive and just ignore the negative. And we saw it with Abreu. We saw it with Jose Abreu. Well, these are all the good things about Abreu. Well, here are the bad things that other people are telling you, and as a city, and me included, we ignore that because we don't want that to be within the realm of outcome. We don't want that to be in the range of possibility. There is a range of possibility that Stephon Diggs could catch 100 passes this year, go over 1,000 yards, and flirt with 10 touchdowns. There is the realm of possibility that Stephon Diggs could be who he was in the last 8 games in Buffalo and catch 50 passes for 600 yards. That is also in play.
I don't dismiss it because I guess I'm dismissing it because what we saw at the end at the end of the season for Buffalo to me was not performance related. Now, there's a lot of other things to worry about with Diggs that aren't performance related, which I think are completely valid, and I have no problem discussing those as reasons to be concerned about either Diggs not living up to what you'd hope he'd be or this thing blowing up because of his personality. But on the field, I mean, we can debate why he was written out of the offense, but it wasn't performance. You look at the first half of the season.
His numbers go down.
I know, but you look at the first half, the first 9 games, he's fantastic. Sure, receivers drop off the cliff when they get over 30. No argument against that. But they don't do it between weeks 9 and 10.
Sometimes they do.
They don't drop off 1 week to the next. That's ridiculous.
Sometimes it is that quick. Sometimes
it's not
a guy,
one week.
All it takes
that's
is waking
insane.
Up one day and being washed. No, I'm teasing a little bit.
And that's why I think the idea of performance concerns are ridiculous to me because you don't drop off like weeks 1 through 9. Look at his game log; he was fantastic. He's a top 5 receiver at that point.
What do you put more stock in though, 1 through 9 or 10 through 17?
Well, there's look the problems with Diggs and the coach there with the Diggs and Allen are well known. He could then have that same problem with D'Amico and with Stroud. That is possible, but that's a different conversation to me than production. Production was fine. The issue wasn't production. The issue is he wasn't getting along. Maybe Allen's throwing too many turnovers. They want to limit his how much he's throwing.
You define production because I look at production kind of like in a number based thing. Like you produce based on what your numbers are telling me you're producing. And his numbers were drastically down in his last 8 games versus his first 8 games.
I mean, well, his last game of the season he was 7 for 87. So
was regular season. If you want to look at his last game in the season, the playoffs, he was 3 for 21.
Sure. But look, I mean, look at the first. We could play the opposite game of this. The first 9 were amazing.
They were.
They decided as a team they'd rather run the ball. They'd rather focus on the short and intermediate, probably because Allen throws the throws too many turnovers. And maybe there was personality clashes because Diggs knew he was on his way out. There's a lot of other reasons to point.
Look, my argument here isn't that Diggs is a bad football player.
I know.
It's that we're ignoring games 9 through 11, like or 9 through the rest of the season.
Sure.
Like it is not in the realm of possibility. Like we're ignoring what is in the realm of possibility.
Is my pushback. It's not because he's dropped off.
Sure.
It's because of personality clashes.
But that is kind of proving my point because you're doing that coming from a Houston Texan perspective of wanting Stephon Diggs to be a good football player. Like if you look at it from like a bigger approach or a bigger viewpoint, it's like, okay, well, Diggs is going to be in his 30s. Diggs is a guy who was on a good team, a playoff team, and they decided the best way for them to win football games was to use less of Stephon Diggs. And this is a fact. This is not an opinion. Like, they decided that it was in their best interest to use less of Stephon Diggs. And you're saying, well, because, you know, Josh Allen, it's better to cater to the running game. It's better to cater to short passes. They had a Dalton Kincaid. They want to feature their tight ends, which are all right. That is all right. But we're not putting into play that the realm of possibility is that maybe Diggs isn't what he used to be. And as a receiver who's aging into his 30s, this is what happens to those type of guys.
Yeah, but you could be a victim of circumstance when Brady takes over the offense and they go more run heavy.
Sure.
And then everything else. But you also make the point, and it's possible, because regardless, when you say 50 catches, I think the bigger thing is that you have to look at the big picture and realize he's not the clear wide receiver one. He's not the go-to guy on offense. It's whoever's open. So the fact his numbers are going to come down and probably not look like a wide receiver one regardless because of the fact that they're going to spread the ball around.
Well, they have more options than Buffalo did.
That's what I'm saying. And so you've got three quality wide receivers, and you've got Schultz, and you've got for Mixon, if you're going to use him in the run pass game. But overall, you have so many weapons and have so many opportunities to spread the ball around. His numbers are probably not going to look like a wide receiver one. He could still be productive, and they can win a lot of games. He's obviously playing for a contract, too. And I don't think, from a personality standpoint, that he doesn't rear that side of his personality until a couple years in with Minnesota or Buffalo, and that's when he decides to really kind of go off the rails a little.
And look, I think it's in play that he could be the best receiver on this team. I'm not denying that. I'm not denying his talent. I'm not denying his history. I'm saying we as a city aren't putting enough value in the fact that maybe Buffalo is on to something. And I'm just saying it's in the realm of possibility. That's all I'm saying. Is he closer to wide receiver one, or is he closer to wide receiver three? 713-780-3776. We'll get your thoughts on this. Lamont will get to you on the other side. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, guys, before we go to the break, I need you to just remember this number, 281-557-COOL. I need you to put it in your phone. Save it, because you never know when you're going to need it. But 281-557-COOL gets you Vandiford Air. Vandiford Air is the answer when you have questions about your air conditioning. When you know it's going to be really, really hot in Houston, and either your AC goes on the fritz or you're worried about it and want it checked out before it gets too hot, you go to VandifordAir.com and you save that phone number, because they guarantee their work. They're going to have everything that are. It's going to be 100% satisfaction guaranteed, but they have so many things in place with you, the customer, at their top priority. And it starts with the fact that when you call them on that number, within 24 hours, they're going to be out to see you no matter how busy they are. And that's huge, because especially if something's gone wrong, you don't want to wait days and possibly a week till they get kind of caught up with their backfill of all the people that they got to deal with. No, within 24 hours of you calling them, they're going to come and see you. And that's huge, because you need your air conditioning this time of year. And then secondly, and more importantly, everything that they do is 100% satisfaction guaranteed. That means they're going to put it all in writing from the start. They're going to tell you what needs to be done. They're going to give you the option to fix it or to replace it. And then you can make your choices. But based on those choices, the parts that they use, the systems that they put in, the work that their people do, it's all guaranteed. 100% or your money back. That's what you want when you deal with a company that provides services, especially something so important as your AC, your HVAC, your plumbing. You can put a dehumidifier into your air AC system so that you can have your house not only cool, but dehumidified, all right there with a control. They're phenomenal. They back up their work. They put it in writing, and they have you as their top priority, unlike other companies that just want to get it done, move on to the next one, and let you worry about if it's right or not. Check them out today. Go to VandifordAir.com, or better yet, just call them and save that number, 281-557-COOL.
You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
People on the text line asking, when is the kind of the separator between like when Stephon Diggs went from productive to unproductive? It's when they fired Ken Dorsey. The Bills fired Ken Dorsey after their game against Denver on November 13th, a game that they lost 24-22. Joe Brady took over, widely considered that he made it more of a run-oriented attack, featured tight ends more, Diggs playing time dropped considerably. In seven games, In seven games, Stephon Diggs caught 34 passes in those seven games. The amount of times that Diggs was on the field, his snap count was reduced. So Diggs went from a guy who's getting targeted about 10 times a game, that was catching seven-ish passes a game, that was averaging about 90 to 100 yards per game. He then, under Brady's offense, became a guy who caught 34 passes for 315 yards in the final seven games of the regular season. And then in the playoffs, he had seven catches, 52 yards against Pittsburgh in a win. And then against the Chiefs, three catches, 21 yards in a critical drop. Critical drop in a game that they lost by 3 points. So all I'm saying is that we're ignoring a lot of the last nine games that Stephon Diggs played as with the Buffalo Bills. And people would push back and say, well, it was a different offense. Okay, but like Blankers was saying, Stephon Diggs is going to have to compete with Tank Dell, with Nico Collins, with Dalton Schultz, with Joe Mixon. Is Stephon Diggs going to be the guy you're featuring in the offense like he was under Ken Dorsey in the first 10 games that they played last year?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing, too, is this all rests firmly between Stephon Diggs' ears, not even on his shoulders. Because I think that if he's expecting or thinking that this is the system with this roster for him to go off and go, you know, through the roof, wide receiver one type numbers, it's not. But at the same time, if he's okay with winning, with success, being a part of the offense, but not having to be the focal point, that you're going to be just fine because everybody knows and they will be able to see he's getting open. He can create space. He's making catches. He's getting, you know, he's getting the ball. But his numbers aren't going to be wide receiver one numbers. I just think that as long as the team wins, I don't think this is the year for him because he's got so much that he's playing for that he can afford to or he will jump off the rails.
713-780-3776. Ocho, look at the Bills' record last season before and after they stopped force-feeding Diggs. They were better once they fired Dorsey. There's no doubt about it. And Diggs had far better numbers with Dorsey than he did Brady when they had a better win-loss record. Is there correlation there? That's up for you guys to decide. All I'm saying is that it should factor into your decision, and I'm seeing too many people ignore that like it didn't happen. 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Lamont, you're in the Hive with the Bees. What's up, Lamont?
Hey, what's up, fellas? Initially, I'm going to try to talk slow on this one because I'm normally talking fast and bumbling. But initially, I wasn't down with the Diggs pick because I thought that the dude was a turd, man. But, you know, just really looking back at him, and I heard Seth Payne talking about this. Notice that he on his first year with teams, he's okay. It's those preceding years, and so once the Texans like restructured his deal and it was only for one year, and like Joel is saying, he's playing for something now. I look at him a total difference. Jeremy, I'm not discounting your point about you know, him being a number one or a number three. To be honest, in my opinion, I wouldn't even want him to be the. I would want him to have the illusion as a number one, but I don't want him to be the number one. I don't want him to be the number one right now. The only thing that worries me about Stephon Diggs is his brother up there, 220 miles up north in Dallas. His brother does a lot of talking because everything that a lot of people were saying, I have to go back and look at this. A lot of the bad stuff that people were saying about Diggs, and I know that you're not saying this, Jeremy, but I'm just going through his whole personality and between the ears and stuff. It was a lot of bad stuff that they were saying about that dude, but a lot of that stuff came from his brother and other people saying stuff. I really never seen that dude doing anything, but just to go back to what Seth was saying, in his first year with teams, he's typically okay. It's after that. Yeah. It's after that. So, you know, I mean, I necessarily don't even care if he's a number one. I don't care if he's a number three. But what I'm thinking that you're going on, Jeremy, right now, is the dude had a good day at practice. The dude had a good day at practice yesterday. Everybody was, you know, massaging him, you know, massaging his balls and stuff. And everybody, and I'm thinking that you're seeing that, but I haven't seen people going goo-goo gaga over Diggs right now. The Diggs is all, I mean, from a person that just, you know, monitor social media and look at things.
Yeah.
I don't see everybody going all crazy over Diggs right now. I see more people going crazy over Over the little guy that got shot.
Jeez, Lamar, you're off the rails.
Slow and steady, but come on, man.
He thinks that Stephon Diggs is hanging out with Deshaun Watson.
And Tank Dell, the guy that got shot. I mean, Lamont, I know this surprised you, but like I said, it's more in years two and two or three with teams when he can show that the other side of him. But at the same time, look, if you look at Kay Adams and you look at, you know, the different talk shows that Caserio and D'Amico go on, it inevitably comes up. Pat McAfee, every single one of them, and they are singing the praises and going out of their way to talk about the positives of Stephon Diggs.
When have you heard them say a bad thing about a player that's on their roster, though?
That's what I'm saying. So it's the way teams are – it's the way every team is supposed to operate. They are going to do nothing but, even if they have internal strife, that is going to be sunshine and roses to the media, because otherwise they're asking for trouble.
I mean, they were talking about how great Steven Nelson was, and they made him a captain, and then he's so toxic that he's not on an NFL roster, and he's bashing the head coach that made him a captain less than 12 months later.
But I'm saying Lamont said he hasn't heard that. He hasn't heard everybody praising him and singing his praises. It's all over the place.
Oh, I think Yeah, I could see where I see where you're coming from now. I think he was talking more from like reports and like, hey, this guy's performing this in practice, doing well in practice, all of that. But maybe, I don't know. I'm not for sure. 8664, Diggs is a wide receiver. Me, however good he is. Look, he's not going to be featured in this offense. He's not going to be featured in this offense like he was featured with Ken Dorsey, with the Bills previously. And Keith from L.A. is like, well, give me the guy who's caught so many passes. I don't care how many passes a guy caught the last 3 years. I care what they're going to do from this point going forward. Things happen fast in the NFL. If you go back and you pull up like who had the most receptions in 2020, there's probably some guys that aren't even in the league anymore that were amongst the leaders in 2020. Things happen fast in the NFL. Guys drop off quickly in the NFL. And look, I'm not saying that Diggs is going to drop off. I'm not saying that Diggs isn't going to be a weapon. I'm not saying that Diggs isn't going to be good. I'm saying that the reaction that I'm seeing from folks around the city is we're acting like Stephon Diggs has zero chance of slippage. Zero chance that that Joe Brady was right. That, hey, we can't feature this guy in our offense anymore because it's not what is in the best interest of our offense. Do you think Steph Diggs being featured is in the best interest of the Houston Texans offense? No, absolutely not.
The biggest thing is, regardless of what you're trying to call him, is he a factor? Does he become a bigger factor for this offense to be successful? Absolutely, because I don't care what you want to call him, wide receiver one or otherwise. Defensive coordinators have a bigger nightmare knowing that they have all the talent that they have at wide receiver specifically, regardless of how you want to rank them as a fan or, you know, people that do the ranking type things. The fact is, CJ, we already know this. He's not going to play favorites. He's not going to look at a certain guy because of a certain amount of money or anything else. He's going to take the right play, and that's the play he's going to make.
I think 70% is right on the money. As far as Dig goes, I haven't seen enough of him with the Texans yet to give him a rating. That's logical. That's a logical thing to do. We can't do that.
The 70% was towards the spotter, right?
Yeah. Okay. Blaine, tell Blankers to put the blunt down. And then this one says Branham is third on the show. So two very different opinions. 713-780-3776. 1022, D'Amico says the wide receiver is the one who gets the ball. So who will be covered the most amongst the three receivers we have? Who will be more open? Okay, that's a good question, and I think it's game specific. No, now, if you want us to like aggregate all of the games and then be like, okay, after 17 games, this is the guy who's getting the most attention, this is the second guy who's getting the most attention, the third guy that's getting the most attention. From what I've understood, talking to people that have been around the training camps and then seeing training camp reports, it looks like Diggs is working a lot out of the slot, which I think is a benefit to Diggs catching a lot of balls and being productive. And again, I do think that Diggs will be productive. I'm just not ignoring what happened last year in the second half of last season, like people want. I think Nico will be the most productive player on this team. Second and third, I have a receiver. I have a very tough time determining two and three because I think Diggs is going to play more snaps than Tank will. I think Tank's going to be, you know, like 5 to 7 snaps fewer per game than Stephon Diggs. If Diggs is working in the slot, I think that favors Diggs to be more productive. So I think two and three are very tight. But if I'm making the decision back to the original question, wide receiver one or wide receiver three, where is Diggs closer to? I don't think anybody's going to be in the same ballpark as Nico.
Yeah, I think. And the other thing you got to factor in with Nico is the yards after the catch, too, because he's been so good about, you know, yards after the catch and dragging guys along. And he's also, you know, he's got the big plays that he's made over and over again. I think Tank might have more touchdowns. I think Diggs may have more receptions and the yards will be close. And I think Nico, if you had to pick one, is your clear wide receiver one, just because of the fact that he's big, he's strong, he high points well, he's going to get those plays with the yards after the catch. And that's just my personal opinion about how the three shake out. Not that it matters who has more of any of it.
1-0. You're right. I mean, this doesn't matter who's 1-3. Like, I don't care who's 1-3. I care that the Texans win football games, right, quite frankly. If Diggs is the best receiver and I sound like an idiot, great. I don't care if it means the Texans win the most games. But I don't think he's going to be featured in this offense like he has been accustomed to up to Joe Brady taking over the Buffalo Bill offense last year. 4-3-2-1, Diggs. There's definitely more to throw at while on the Texans. However, I don't think there's any question we're going to be a throwing team, which might eat up that that loss he may or may not be getting for next receiver or two in the middle. I don't know what he's saying there. 713-780-3776. 0452 is unhappy that we mentioned Deshaun Watson. I guess he's a Browns fan. I'm not sure. 6403, don't forget about injuries. He'll be good to have if Nico or Tank go down. No one's saying that Diggs being on this team is a negative. No one's saying that it's bad that Stephon Diggs is on this team. Now, I think there are fair questions to where does Diggs stack up in terms of production with the Texans. Mm-hmm. Is it one? Is it two? Is it three? And I do think it's fair to be critical of the price it took to trade for Diggs, yes, a Minnesota second-round pick next year, and the contract restructure.
That's the thing I was just going to say to you. Is it fair to say that no matter how much they're going to blow positive smoke at you about everything Stephon Diggs, that they would not have done the restructure they did if they didn't want to make sure that they were covered in case things go wrong with him in his year here?
Yeah, and look, I like that Diggs is on this team. I question how productive he'll be relative to the other two. I question the fact that people are acting like the second half of last year did not happen when it comes to talking about Stephon Diggs. And then I question the trade and I question the extension. I think he's a good player. I think he's a good player.
Brian, I didn't know if you were going to jump in. I think that the biggest thing for me is that I did not like the restructure. I did not like that you gave up that second round pick from Minnesota that I think is going to be very high in terms of, I don't think Minnesota's going to be very good. But do I think that for 1 year that their offense is better because Stephon Diggs is on the roster? Absolutely. And the other thing that, you know, and I don't know how you guys feel about this or not, but regardless, that second half of the year in Buffalo, let's be honest with human nature. If he and Allen weren't getting along and Allen was ticked off, there are quarterbacks that are going to say, if I've got options, I'm not throwing it his way. It's just that's the personalities involved, too, with the egos.
I don't think you can do that mid-play. I just don't think you can do that in the NFL. Like, in a matter of 1.5 to 3 seconds, you're like, I'm not throwing him the ball. I'm going to throw it to this guy. Like, I mean, they go through their reads 1-4. Like, they're not in the middle of a play saying, I'm not going to throw it to him.
Maybe not in the middle of a play, but I think human nature says that if you don't like a guy, you're not going out of your way to throw his way.
713-780-3776. Let's sneak in one more call and then we'll move on. Reggie, you're in the Hive with the Bees. What's up?
Okay. Hey, what's up, fellas? Jeremy, let me ask you. I got like three quick questions to ask. It's not a loaded question.
Okay.
Okay?
Go.
Let me ask you this. In the preseason, how do you think John Mechie and Damian Pierce are doing?
I didn't really – how John Mechie and Damian Pierce are doing? Is that the question?
Yeah, in the preseason.
I don't think they're doing very good.
Okay, and you trust your eyes, right?
I mean, I don't think the preseason games matter a whole lot, but what I've seen in the preseason games, I don't think they're doing very well, yes.
Okay, yeah. So this is what determines the preseason the real season sometimes, what you do in the preseason. So – and I got two more quick questions.
Okay.
The Texans defense, how do you rank the Texans defense?
If we're talking about this year, where I think they stack up this in total year, team like defense, right, I'll go top 10. I'll go top 10. All right, well, last one.
Top 10.
Make it quick.
All I've seen, I've been to every practice, is Stephon Diggs lighting their ass up every practice.
Okay.
You trust your eyes. Why don't you trust that, what you're seeing in practice?
Well, I haven't seen that. Reggie, appreciate the call, Reggie. I hope you're right. Look, I hope you're right. And I think that it's in play. I think it's in play that Diggs can be good. I never said it's not. I'm saying we're ignoring the second half of last year in Buffalo. All right, 713-780-3776. Bad Take Boulevard next. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, guys, the word for Doc Linville and the NeoGraft procedure and PRP treatments that he can do for you. If you're losing your hair, if you've got pattern baldness or it's already gone and you don't think there's anything you can do about it, you need to have a consultation with Doc Linville and his staff. The reason why I say you have a consultation is absolutely free because you listen to us and you want to go see him. Excuse me. All you got to do is go to 975hair.com. You get a free consultation with Doc and his staff. It normally costs $150. You get it for free. You go in. They explain how everything works, the PRP, which is like in lawn terms, you're fertilizing the lawn. There's still lawn that's on your property. It's just not as thick and lush as it used to be. The PRP is like fertilizer, and it gets it back to where it used to be. If you're already past that, and Doc will be the one to tell you, and you do the NeoGraft procedure, I've had them both. And the NeoGraft procedure, to me, was massively a game changer that I never expected. It's my own hair taken from a place I'm never going to lose it, the sides in the back of my head, put to where I needed it most. In my case, it was my hairline in front. It could be the bald spot up on top and back. Regardless, they are game-changing, difference-making procedures that make you have more self-confidence, a better overall look and appearance, and your hair is back and it's yours. It's phenomenal. Just go to 975hair.com. You get a free consultation, not the $150 one. It's no obligation, no signing on the dotted line, no money out of pocket. They're going to explain everything to you. Ask all the questions you want to ask. Get the answers and see if it's something you might consider doing. I did the procedure. I couldn't be happier with it. I recommend it to all my friends. I'm recommending it to you too because they are the best in the business and it is actually getting the results because 95 to 99% of the follicles that they move aren't going anywhere. They're going to be with you for the long haul, and because he's taking them from a place where they're always going to be there, they are going to give you exactly what you're after. Check them out today. Go to 975hair.com and go see my friend Doc Linville.
Time to welcome some new takes.
Right this way.
To Bad Take Boulevard.
If only there was something in your head to control the things you say.
It's the dumbest argument ever.
With the Killer Bees.
Can I just say that I'm an idiot for listening to you?
All right, what are the worst takes of the week? 713-780-3776. What do you think belongs on the worst takes of the week? How about this doozy from Lance, a, what do they call him, preeminent draft expert?
Mm-hmm. Do we think? Numbers guy.
Numbers guy, definitely numbers guy, but not a plumbing guy? Is that what he
Good
says
point.
In the commercial?
Yes, absolutely true. That's not why he goes to guy. Vanderford Air.
Now, do we think he is a preeminent, do we think he has a scouting eye, a preeminent scouting eye when it comes to outfield defense? What do we think? Do we think he does or does not?
I do not.
Here was Lance this morning talking about a potential late-game strategy in the Astros outfield.
Well, when Kyle Tucker comes back, Tucker, is there, who you is are you going to keep DeCenzo and send Chaz?
Well, we'll see. I mean, I doubt he's going to get enough at-bats for the Astros to feel really great about him. But, you know, maybe not. I guess maybe Chaz will be on the bench.
Yeah,
I guess
I mean,
in
I
case
know
he needs to pinch run, or I guess maybe be a defensive. I'd rather have Chaz in outfield than Jake. Chaz has a better arm. I guess maybe Ooh. Chaz can come in for Jake as
There's
a
your noodle.
Replacement at some point.
Okay.
Yeah.
How are you playing him?
I mean, John deserves to be on here too.
As a defensive replacement.
Okay.
Yeah, John co-signed it.
Yeah. See, he can be a defensive replacement if you're playing Yordan in left. Like, that could be a defensive replacement. But you're not bringing Chaz McCormick in as a defensive replacement over Jake Myers. There's a reason that Jake Myers plays center field every day. It's his defense. I promise you it's not his bat.
Yeah, I mean, look, we've talked about this over and over again, and you've referred to Chaz's arm as the noodle. We know he doesn't have a very good arm. We know that as much as people have bashed Jake in the past, especially offensively, you can't bash his defense. He's one of the better defensive center fielders in baseball.
Yeah. Now, Jake doesn't have a good arm, but you know who has a better arm than?
Chaz.
Like, they grade these things. Like, this stuff is measurable. And Jake Myers has a stronger arm than Chaz McCormick. It's about tied now, actually. Jake had it for most of the year, but it's about equal. It's almost a dead heat between the two. And Jake's by far the more rangy guy. Now, Chaz is fine in center field. Like, he's fine there. I mean, maybe one of the best catches in Astro history in center field. But he's not a defensive replacement over Jake Myers. That's unheard of.
Nope. That's a fact.
The arm value between Chaz has an arm value of -2. He's in the 11th percentile. Jake's -1 in the 18th percentile. So they're both poor. Mm-hmm. And then their arm strength, 84.3. for Chaz, 84.2 for Jake. So I guess Chaz has him by a hair. But in terms of arm value, Jake has him by a decent amount. So probably more accurate. All right, moving along. But Lance, you make the list.
You just made the
Chaz,
list.
Chaz, a defensive replacement over Jake Meyers. Have you seen this proposed rule in Major League Baseball where starters must go six innings? Now, there's some provisions like 100 pitches, you give up four runs, injury. Why are we putting more rules in governing our great game? Like, we're just adding rule after rule after rule. This is silly. Stop putting rules into our game. Leave it alone, Robert Manfred. You're making a mockery of the sport. There's some things you've done that I like, but there's a lot that I hate. Stop making a mockery of the sport. Do not. I hope that they leak this so they can get reaction and then act appropriately. Mm-hmm. This is stupid, Manfred.
I just hate this, and I was thinking about it from so many different angles. Like, well, if you're Tampa Bay, do you think you're going to like this when you like to do openers and you like to do things like that? And, you know, they're trying to say, well, it's going to save pitching the arms. And I don't know how, when you're forcing your starting pitcher to have to go six innings, when a lot of times, for a lot of different factors and reasons, you don't want to do that and you have another more pitchers on the roster. But I read this and I'm going, are you kidding me? Like, why are we tinkering so much? I'm get off my lawn guy here. I don't like the pizza boxes for bases. The pitch clock. If you're gonna worry about the kids and the TV time, TV time. I understand your revenue, but if you're gonna worry about weekday games and the kids and trying to make the game shorter, it annoys me that we're seeing as many injuries with pitchers because you're force feeding all the different things that they've implemented in the last couple of years. It wasn't broken for all these years before it.
Yeah, I don't think it's for the kids though.
I don't mind the rules. I don't mind the rules designed to make it a speedier game. I hate the rules that are designed to mess with legitimate baseball strategy, whether it be the shift, whether it be the minimum for relief pitchers. If you want to use a guy for one out, okay, that's on you. But if it comes back and backfires because you don't have any guys left at the end of the game, then that's on you. I don't like rules that prevent legitimate strategy and the use of it to benefit what? Like, who's this benefiting by mandating that pitchers go six innings?
They're trying to add the value of starting pitchers, and they're trying to say that it's going to prevent injury. I don't know how. They're going to say their argument, and it's a poor argument. I'm just telling you their argument. I'm the messenger here because I disagree with it. They believe that pitchers will change the way that they throw, and they won't try to be maxing out on velo and maxing out on spin because they know they need to get through six innings in a game. What they're going to do is they're going to max out on velo, they're going to max out on spin and try to crawl to the finish line is what they're going to do. Or they get to 100 pitches. Or they give up four runs.
And essentially what it's basically saying, too, is you're trying to eliminate the middle relief pitchers.
Yeah, you're
too.
Also costing
it's
jobs.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. The players union is going to be against it.
Yeah, I don't see the players union accepting this at
them
all.
Jobs.
Yeah, this they make the list.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Robert Manfred,
you just made
the list. Scott on Twitter, he says that the Astros' injured rotation would compete with their current rotation, which is one of the best in baseball since the All-Star game. So Scott on Twitter said that the guys on the injured list, Lance McCullers, Luis Garcia, Christian Javier, Jose Urquidy, and J.P. France. Now, not bad. I think they would compete with a good amount of rotations around baseball. But those five guys are just as good, would compete with Framber Valdez, a top five Cy Young guy. Hunter Brown has been the best pitcher in baseball for the last couple of months. Yusei Kikuchi has been a different pitcher with the Astros. Pitcher Eric Eddie, who's been outstanding in his last seven or eight starts. And then Ronel Blanco has got a sub-3 ERA.
That's ludicrous.
You just made
Scott,
the list.
You made the list. 4631 texted us the other day, said that the Texans lost to Sam Darnold last year. Only one problem. The Texans did not play Sam Darnold last year. He thought all white guys looked the same. He thought it was Zach Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
So 4631, you make the list.
You just made the list.
Sam Darnold was on the Niners all year.
Mm-hmm. Tyreek Hill, defending the number one player ranking, says he's a better player than Pat Mahomes.
It's just ridiculous. I mean, when you start talking about the premier position in all of sports, how important it is, you touch the football on every single play.
Mm-hmm.
It's, I mean, he doubled down, too. He also said he could beat Noah Lyles in a sprint. that.
Yeah, I think there were different quotes, but he said that, for sure, I'm him. My argument is Pat is great. He's great, obviously, for his team. They won back-to-back Super Bowls, yada, yada, back-to-back Super Bowls. He's Seinfeld all of a sudden, yada, yada, Super Bowls.
He's very dismissive of back-to-back Super Bowls.
They did their thing. You look at me, back-to-back 1,700-yard seasons, Pro Bowl, All-Pro, All-Decade, consistency, all that, man. I'm doing this at 5'8", about 190. Size shouldn't matter. So, come on, man. A lot of people said I couldn't be receiver, and here I am doing this. So you, Tyreek Hill, who was traded away by the Chiefs. No one thought the Chiefs were going to be able to succeed or win a Super Bowl without you. And then they won the immediate two right after you were gone. And somehow you're the best player in the NFL. Now, Tyreek Hill's just defending himself. I think that NFL.com should be on this list ahead of Tyreek Hill.
You just made the list.
Both of them.
I think to his point, though, too, that he makes, he might have done all those things for the last couple of years. Pat Mahomes, there's no argument. He made those lists, too. And he's also being discussed as the greatest quarterback of all time.
It's just Tyreek's statements there. He's like, they won back-to-back Super Bowls, but I had 1,700 yards back-to-back seasons. He's saying putting 1,700 yards as a greater achievement than winning the Super Bowl.
It's crazy that anybody would have Tyreek Hill ahead of Pat Mahomes. NFL.com on the list, too. All right, Granato.
You just made the list.
Makes the list. I'm uncomfortable putting Granato on here. Granato had this take about the Hollywood Brown injury with the Chiefs and a certain Texan that they might want.
With Hollywood Brown being out 4 to 6 weeks. The Texans are the perfect trade partner for them. You are going to... Okay, so you got 8 guys for 5 spots, right?
Yeah.
You got 8 guys for 5 spots.
At wide receiver?
At wide receiver.
Maybe 6.
If Steven Sims is one of them, you got Diggs, Collins, Dell, Brown, Hutchinson, and Sims. That's Mechie. Woods and Skowronek are out on the street. But
yeah,
here's a question to you. Okay, no matter who it is, if Mechie's on the street, Woods is on the street, Hutchinson is on the street, Skowronek's on the street, do you trade with them and try to get something, a 6th or a 7th rounder? Mechie might bring you a 6th rounder. I don't think Woods would, probably 7th rounder. Hutchinson probably be, I don't know, maybe a 7th rounder.
Trade with the
Chiefs? Do you make them better? See, here's the problem.
If they'll take one of these guys instead of cutting them, sure.
Well, but here's the deal is, why would you make the Chiefs better? Why
are
not
you really
wait?
Making them better with Xavier Hutchinson?
Well, you are. Because if they pick up Xavier Hutchinson, they want Xavier Hutchinson, and Xavier Hutchinson will help them.
If they want to give me a draft pick for Mechie or Xavier Hutchinson or whatever, I'm taking it. I'm assuming they're not going to come back to beat me. I'm not worried as much about those guys as I am a defensive player.
You never know, okay? Stop. You don't trade with the team with your arch rival, okay? Because the Chiefs are the Texans' arch rival.
Granato could do no wrong in my eyes. I agree with everything Granato had to say. Where's the bad take?
One, that you could get a 6th-round pick for John Mechie. And then two, the idea of you can't trade with the Chiefs or and that Skowronek and Mechie make the Chiefs better. I mean, they'd be what? They're wide receiver 6? I mean, there's 3 or 4 bad takes in that.
Chiefs have some depth, too, at receiver.
I mean, in years past, they didn't have depth.
No, they signed this
year.
Yeah. And they drafted a guy, too.
Even before that. I mean, they have Sky Moore, Justin Watson, Mecole Hardman, Justin Ross, Kadarius Toney. They actually have depth at receiver. They're probably going to cut a couple of guys that are
right.
Okay.
So they trade a 6 for John Mechie?
That's probably
He's done what
there.
In the NFL?
Yeah, I don't think that. I think Mechie could be traded for a 6th or a late-round pick swap. Yeah. I think it could be a Mechie and a 7th for a 6th. I think that's in play.
I think it is.
Okay, if you're talking about swapping,
I don't think a straight 6.
10 picks or something, or moving up 10 picks, that's one thing.
I don't think a straight 6.
A straight 6,
pick swap.
No way.
Yeah, I don't think so. And I mean, I'm not, and like Lance was saying, I wouldn't be concerned about trading a depth piece to a team that's in my conference.
Who cares?
That's only going to be a depth guy. Yeah. I don't care about trading interdivision. I'm so scared of trading with this team. No, go win the trade. Make them worse. Stop being soft. I hate the whole, they're in the division. You can't trade with them.
If John Mechie
can't
make the roster here.
Rip them off.
Yeah, if John Mechie can't make the roster here, why are we worried about him being on the field for the Chiefs?
Yeah, you're not going to, you're going to cut him anyway. So get something for him.
Yeah. So Granato, not.
You just made the list.
I didn't put him there. Y'all put him there.
I'll put him there.
Granato does no wrong. Fox has given Kevin Burkhardt. He says he wants to add additional penalty for strikeouts to stop players from not caring about the strikeout. He says all the legends, they hate strikeouts and embarrass them. The problem with Burkhardt here is he didn't offer the solution as to what the additional penalty was going to be. If you're going to have this take, finish the take, man. If you're going to, I like bold takes. I like hot takes. But if you're going to have it, finish the thought. You can't just throw that out there and be like, well, I don't know what the penalty would be. Then you shouldn't be saying it, Kevin.
Wait, so he wants the hitter to be penalized if they extra strike out?
Extra penalty, additional penalty for a strikeout.
He wants to try to do...
But he didn't like, offer what the penalty would be.
The amount of, yeah, he didn't offer the penalty.
I understand that. That's ridiculous. But in itself, like, you're going to penalize the guy. He's doing the... I mean, you're
the
telling me he's not
he's
trying?
Walking back to the dugout.
Yeah, I just... Yeah. That's ridiculous.
That's why Kevin Burkhardt...
You just made the list!
But finish the thought, man. Like, have a hot take. Cool. Finish the take. All right, Jeremy Fowler reported the Texans were in on Matthew Judon to the end. Why? Why are the Texans doing that? I have a theory. I have a theory. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.